Hey, mommy. Get in the bed and let's party. Hey, daddy. Hey, mommy. Get in the bed and let's party.
Bonnie, I just have to say thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. I'm like, we haven't even gotten into anything, but I just can't even tell you how excited I am that you're here.
Well, thank you. I'm just so happy to be back in bed.
Oh, that's right.
So good. So good. Well, I was going to say, I feel like I just need to kick off this episode with your bio because people just need to fucking know what's up.
Okay.
To all of our children, we have a musical icon joining us on the Daddy Mommy Show today. This talented singing, songwriting queen has written some of the best pop music of our time. She is the pen behind hits such as Tyler Cruz's Dynamite, Britney Spears' Hold It Against Me, and Rita Ora's How We Do. But that's not all. She is also the pen behind several of Katy Perry's biggest songs, including Teenage Dream and Last Friday Night, aka TGIF. With 10 global number one singles already under her belt, this beauty has lent her talents to many artists and is now using her songwriting superpowers on herself. With her new releases, Hot City and Don't Get Mad, Get Famous. And I would just like to say it is an honor to share the bed with this magical human. Please give it up for the American girl and my friend, Miss Bonnie McKee.
Yay!
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
If the buttons worked, the clapping would be right there.
I can imagine it. I can imagine
That's right.
Just I always hear applause in my head.
That's right. Ooh, we love it. She said I live that way.
You know what I love about that bio? There was a lot missing.
Actually, though,
you're a real one.
I had to skim and be like, okay, cool. Well, we don't want to put all the accolades because, like, that's like, all
right, it's ridiculous.
Shit on other people, but like, how accomplished you are. It's amazing. Amazing. I'm like, I think back to when I first met you, and I remember it was like, yeah, we're doing this camp at Bonnie McKee's house. And I was like, Bonnie McKee's house? I was like, hold on. But, like, you really have had such an incredible career that I bow.
Well, thank you.
I bow down, queen.
Well, I remember when you first came to that camp, how impressed I was with you and your songwriting ability.
Thanks,
you are just such a talent yourself. So, I was happy to be here today.
Oh my gosh. Well, it means so much. Slash, I also remember the first time I ever, like, basically knew who you were, which, flashback, everyone, to me sitting at my, like, basically in my house, in my living room, eating cereal. I remember them doing the whole, like, MTV countdowns. And I remember they did a whole campaign for American Girl. And it was like, Bonnie McKee's new release, American Girl. And I remember sitting there like, this shit is good.
Thank you.
I'm sitting there eating my cereal like, hold on.
Oh.
And so I was a fan for quite a long time before I met you.
Thank you.
And crazy enough to know that that was like, I mean, obviously, you're releasing your own music again now, but, like, to think that that was back then is just crazy to me because I'm like, bitch, you've been doing this. You've been doing this.
Thank you. Oh, I miss MTV.
It was so good.
I miss, like, TV, kind of.
Right? The video countdowns, that used to be my favorite thing ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I lived for TRL. Like, every day after school, like, my friends and I would rush home and watch TRL. Like,
yes. But, like, then you were on it. So, like, then you're in the music video countdown. How did it feel for you back then?
Incredible. Like, that felt like I officially made it when I got to see my music video on TV. Because, I was raised by television, if you will.
Yes, right. Likewise.
A line from American Girl.
Yes.
That felt like I actually had made it. And now, I mean, like, look, everything is so democratized now in the music industry.
Absolutely.
And so it's amazing that really anyone can have a chance to have a career. And independent artists are running the world and everything else. But there was something about I've heard somebody call it monoculture or something, where it's like, we were all listening to the same songs.
Right.
So it's like, there were mega hits because we only had the same radio stations and MTV or whatever. So it wasn't like a million songs every single day that came out.
Very true.
So we all had the same, 30 songs to pick from.
Yes.
So, like, when a song would come on, everyone knew all
Everybody
of the words.
Everybody knew that song. No, that's true.
And now it's like, everyone has their own little niche, which is amazing because many more artists have more opportunities.
Definitely.
But, like, I do kind of miss all kind of sharing this collective love of a song and knowing every single word to every song,
No, so true. And I mean, It's funny because in a way that was a radio station in itself. Mm-hmm. Like sitting there and watching those music videos, it's like I got all those songs committed to memory just from watching the videos, mm-hmm. which is crazy because I also feel like people don't really watch music videos like that
anymore. Yeah, which is so sad because like that was why I got into music, honestly. Like yeah. I grew up watching MTV and I remember watching like the making of the Thriller video and watching right. Madonna and watching Britney Spears. And like that was like, I remember watching those and being like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Like I want to play right. a character. I want to wear costumes. I want to dance.
Yeah.
And that's still my favorite art form. And yeah. Like, I spent all of my money on music videos just because yeah. I love it.
It's
like,
so
that's
fun.
My favorite part.
Right.
No, and it shows. It shows that that's shows. Your favorite part.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've watched the newest videos and I'm like, I just can't believe how much you've done yourself, how much you've pulled off. Like, the thing that people, I think, don't realize is when these music videos are, like, being shot and put together, like, it takes a village.
It is so much
to make those
work.
Things happen. So the fact that you're doing so much of that on your own and without a label is, like, crazy.
It's so much work, but it's, like, a labor of love. Like, I really love it. I edit my own music videos, and I do a lot of the set design, and I direct a lot of them. And I love videos and art form.
Yeah.
Which is also why I think I've really taken to TikTok. Like I just, because I get to make little mini movies, you know?
Basically, right. yeah.
So yeah, I love it. But it is sad that nobody really watches music videos anymore. And I just keep making them anyway. Cause I'm like, you know what? Like I want to be able to look back and be like, look at all this cool art I made.
Right.
You know?
No, for sure.
I and feel then, like they're coming back actually low key yeah. lately. I feel like I've seen a couple artists where actually that's what made the song big.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. fair. That's definitely
especially
fair.
Like Troye Sivan lately too.
Oh, oh my yeah. god!
I was like,
genius.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I was
good.
Like, but it's like there's a difference when you see like there was actually thought put into yeah. it rather mm-hmm. than it be
like here's me performing the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah
right.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. that's so true.
Yeah,
but like for you, I remember too. We ran into each other at a party not too long ago, and I remember you saying at the party how you're like, I feel like I have like my core fans who are like still in this with me and still love my stuff and like. If anything, I feel like you're making it for them as well. You know,
it's oh my
like
God,
they're
absolutely.
Still going to watch it and love it and like yes. be so stoked that you're putting out new content.
Definitely.
So yeah. that's great.
I mean, I do this all for the fans. Like this whole album. So like, here's the story. So I got signed for my second record deal at Epic 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I put out American Girl that did pretty well. Mm-hmm. And then there was disagreements with the label about the second single, which was supposed to be Slay.
Oh.
And I was out on tour promoting it. And I was touring with Carmen, who is now... Queen Herbie. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then it never came out. And I did this whole tour and I got so many comments from fans like, what happened to that music? Like I want, yeah. everyone was listening to the bootleg versions and the live versions and the demos wow. leaked. And so, but I was like, well, the time has passed. And also music really shifted after that where yeah. everyone was kind of like tired of the super saturated, like Max Martin pop sound, which it always comes back. Mm-hmm. But everyone was like, we want Billie Eilish and Lorde and Drake.
Right.
And so think, you know, and it's like, pop music goes in 5-year cycles. So that was kind of over for a second. I was like, well, I guess these songs are just, I'm just going to have to wait it out.
Mm.
And so that's what I did. And then I found this forum online that was 500 pages long. Everybody talking about this unreleased album.
No
And like,
way.
They know everyone that wrote on it. They know all the different versions, all the alternative lyrics. Like they, somebody hacked me. I don't know how this happened, but they got all of my demos, which
no
is like,
way.
Felt like I was really upset at first because it really like steals the thunder where it's right. just like, well, I wanted like this. It's not finished.
They're out there now. Yeah.
yeah. And so, but then I was going to put out a whole new album right before the pandemic. And then that hit. And I was like, I'm just going to sit on this for a second. Doesn't feel like the right time.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered this forum, I was like, well, if they want it so bad, then I'm going to give it to them.
Right.
So I went and re-recorded all of the songs because Epic still owned the masters.
Right.
So I re-recorded everything and now I'm putting those songs out and it's perfect timing actually because everyone is nostalgic for that like 2010
right.
pop sound.
Yes.
So all of these songs were written in like 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's been really fun.
But like, I mean, it's so smart. I think that you waited on it. I do think it makes sense because it does seem like there is kind of that sound ushering back in now.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And it's like songs like Hot City. I'm like, it just feels so good. I'm like, thank I feel you. Like I've been craving pop music. And right. we always, Keanu and I always talk about, because we write together a lot as well. Mm-hmm. We always talk about how it's like, oh my gosh, like if we were like, in the biz during that era of like when the Britneys were ruling the world.
Oh
like,
my God.
It would have been iconic.
I mean, I'm passionate about pop music. What can I say?
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, it always comes back around.
Yeah.
And also, I, you know, so many people over the years were like, let these songs go, write new songs. Like, you are a songwriter, you can write something new. And I was like, there's something about these.
Right.
And like, it, I think it just goes to show 10 years later that people still love them and that they were evergreen.
Yes.
Right.
And that's always what I kind of try to aim for. I don't tend to follow musical trends in that way, because I'm like, I want something to still be around in 50 years and people still like it.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Right.
Now, when did you get into songwriting? Like, when did you actually start writing?
I started writing songs when I was like 12 years old.
Hey, oh, you're early.
Yeah. Because I grew up writing poetry.
Poetry. Why do we both like, oh, she's a poetry girl?
I'm like, oh, you're a real writer.
I love words. I love language. And I would read poems at talent shows. Like, I was like really into poetry. And I won like, you know, my county poetry contest and stuff.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Snaps for you,
snaps,
queen.
Snaps, thank you, daddy-o. And then I also love to sing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I always wanted to be a singer, but I didn't really think that my poetry would do anything. I didn't really understand that like songwriting was a thing, you know?
Right.
Sure.
And then I made a demo of cover songs. I did like Fiona Apple and Bette Midler and Carole King, Jewel, who I later got to work with and was like,
she's amazing.
I'm obsessed.
Yes.
And I gave it to a friend of my mom's who was like in the music industry in Seattle. I grew up in Seattle. And
That's right. You're a Pacific Northwest girly too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Where are you from again?
Portland.
Portland. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
And so there was this guy, Jonathan Poneman, who signed Nirvana or whatever, because, you know, that's what Seattle is known for, Sub Pop Records. Mm. Obviously, that wasn't like my genre or whatever, but I gave him my demo of cover songs and he was like, that's great that you can sing, but can you write?
Mm.
And I was like, secretly kind of putting songs together, but I was like too shy. And so I took that as a challenge and I went home and I started writing songs.
Slay.
Yeah.
Love that. And then what brought you to LA? When did that happen?
I made a demo of my first original songs and I gave it to everyone I knew. I had one of those CD burners.
I was just going to say, were you passing out CDs?
Yes. I had a CD burner where I could do like 5 minutes
of time.
And I was like, I'm basically a record label. No.
Wow.
You basically were.
No, literally. How Santa Monica pure of you.
I know, right? Oh my God. I had somebody, I like bought a CD from someone in like a Walmart parking lot recently because he was like selling. I was like, yeah, you know. And then awesome. I got in my car and I was like, I don't have a CD player.
I literally don't have a CD player.
No, my mom That's still real. Has one in her car and I rely on her for all my CDs. Yeah.
Whoa. That's so real.
Yeah. So I made this demo, gave it to everyone I knew. And then someone I went to school with babysat for someone that knew someone in LA.
No.
Who was like kind of fringe music industry.
Whoa.
And so then that person called me and like flew me down to LA and shopped my demo around and ended up getting played on Mornings Eclectic on KCRW.
Wow.
Oh.
And then there was like
KCRW.
I know, me too.
It's good.
And then there was like a whole bidding war and I moved to LA by myself at 16, almost 17. And
no way.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
I got emancipated.
Damn.
Yeah.
She was out here.
You're independent as hell.
Yes.
God damn.
Yeah.
Wow. And moved out here by yourself, 16, 17, and just like went at it full throttle.
Yep. And I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
I had never co-written and they didn't have me co-write with anyone. That's one regret I had about the first album, which I'm like so embarrassed about the first album. Mm. Those were literally some of the first songs I ever wrote.
Right. And you were writing them by yourself.
Yeah.
At like 15 years old.
Yeah. 14 and 15.
Yeah.
The whole album was written.
That's wild.
And like, they're terrible. Like, I don't know. I have
classic
a lot of,
in a way.
I have a lot of friends, or a lot of fans that love it still. And so like, I don't want to disrespect them. Like, I really appreciate that. But they were, you know, just knowing what I know now when I listen to them, I'm just like, what was I thinking? And why did they let me do this?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm like, I have quite a few songs still committed to memory from around the same period in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fat butterfly notebook of all my early songs.
Yes.
And if I were to sing them to you now.
Wait, can you give us a sample?
Yeah, what was the first song you ever wrote?
No. Oh, my God. No, guys, if I sing it, I'm going to embarrass the shit out of myself.
Girl, you know my first song, so go ahead for you.
Wait, what?
You do know yours. What's your first song?
The first song I ever wrote, it was called Unifon.
Unifon? Can you explain?
Yeah, it was in the fourth grade.
Uh-huh.
They made us like sit, and it was a writing assignment, and I was like, I'm gonna write a song. I don't want to write a story. So I wrote a song called Unifon, and it was basically about a unicorn fawn in the meadow.
Oh my my God. Yeah. Like F-A-W-N.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
no,
so
and it's
cute.
A fucking global smash hit, actually.
Oh, my
and
God.
I know every single word.
I would have been a huge fan, by the
no,
way.
No, I know.
That's like two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Like, the importance of let's.
No.
What a mashup.
No, literally. Yeah. So it's just like, I know that God. You were like really successful at 16, but I was doing that. So
you were killing wow. it in the unicorn game.
Oh my God, I love it. Wait, what was your first song?
Okay, well, if we're talking technically, my very first song was actually a song in the second grade that I wrote for a girl group on the playground.
Oh.
Yes.
I can't.
I had convinced three other girls that we needed to be 3LW, basically, except for where there was four of us.
Lisbon all.
I'm not gonna diss Little Miss Keeley Williams, but no, nonetheless, we had a little group and I wrote a song for us called Raindrop.
Yes.
And it was really good, and I also made everyone practice the harmonies.
Oh,
so
God.
We harmonized in everything.
She was a boss already.
Yeah,
oh my
you were.
God. No, I was really like, I was directing and instructing, but like we like wouldn't perform for anyone other than we did perform once in our little after school program.
Yes.
For our after school program workers.
Oh, I love it.
Just them.
Other like, than that, sit down and listen.
No, literally, other than that, we would just sing on like some sort of a play structure by ourselves and practice our harmony.
Oh my God, that's wow. so cute.
No, it's crazy.
I
yeah.
love that.
But music is, I mean, it's amazing because like you were saying, like you're like, you look back at those songs and you're like, those were terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say that I feel like all of them were terrible, but a good majority probably were.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. I'm yeah. like,
you got to learn from your mistakes.
You figure it out. But mm-hmm. like, you as a writer, are you somebody who, like, I'm trying to remember back when we worked together, like, if you write melody first, lyric first, how do you usually approach it?
I mean, I've written so many songs in my life. I really kind of do it every which way.
Yeah.
I used to always start out with lyrics. Mm-hmm. And then working with Max Martin and Luke, the rule of thumb was that, like, melody was king.
Mm.
But I am such a lyric person.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I have a notebook or a list of titles.
Mm.
And so whenever I think of a title, I write it down. And then usually like in pop music, there is usually a track that's already there. Like you start, you know, I come in a room and a producer will have a track. And then I will look through my titles and be like, what title kind of matches with the way that this sounds, with the vibe of it, you know?
Makes sense.
But I don't know. I kind of like starting with melodies too. I'll do both.
Do both.
I do both.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
Because sometimes I'll write a great melody and be like, fuck yeah, this is a hit. And then I'm like, I don't know how to make the lyrics fit.
Yeah.
Like, or like, I just can't find something that, and I'm like, well.
Right.
And that's when you phone a friend.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know?
That's totally fair. And co-writing, listen.
Phone a friend.
It can be hard, but I think worthwhile a lot of the
time. I love co-writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really prefer it now. Like, I think when writers first start out, if you're used to writing by yourself,
it's
really hard.
Yes, it was so hard for me.
It's hard to, like, kill your darlings mm-hmm. and, like, have someone be like, well, what if we try this instead? Because it's, like, instantly an insult where you're like, well,
right.
how dare you? Oh, my idea isn't brilliant.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Right. No, exactly.
But, like, it's kind of an ego death, you know?
Mm-hmm. It
but
is.
It's really, really smart. And then once you learn how to do that, once you get used to it and you don't take it personally,
right.
then you get to be like, oh, you have a better idea than I do. And that's great.
Because right.
now
right.
I get to be a part of that
right.
and build on it, you know?
Right.
No, totally.
Yeah.
You have to be less precious. It's,
yeah.
like, tough for people.
Well, mm-hmm. and you learn, like, a skill set for sure. It's great to be a writer. It's most successful writers, I think, can write a song by themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, there's a skill set that you don't learn until you co-write, and that's being an editor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're a good editor,
mm-hmm.
you really thrive in the co-writing space.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
I actually
yeah.
really like song doctoring. Like, I like
yeah.
when people will bring me a song and be like, can you fix this?
Exactly.
And I'm like, yes, I can.
Yeah.
I love
no,
that.
No, exactly. And sometimes it's just like, that's how you really connect the dots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after all the songs you've written, I'm curious, what is your, like, song you're most proud of?
Oof.
I think probably Teenage Dream.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's like the fan favorite. It wasn't as big as, you know, Roar or California Girls or whatever, Dynamite. But
whatever.
I was gonna say, you don't think it was as big or just it didn't sell as well or what? Because I feel like that one was massive.
It wasn't as much of a, like, I don't know. It wasn't as much of like a cultural phenomenon. Like it's aged really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like the most respected one that we did
mm-hmm.
together. I think Roar did well too, but Roar is also like, Like, I feel like there's songs that are like Coca-Cola.
Right. Yes.
Where it's like for everyone.
Yeah.
And really obvious. And like, I'm proud of those too. And that's kind of my specialty. Like, I like writing Coca-Cola songs. You know what I mean? Right.
Coca-Cola, hit her up.
Yeah.
Diet Coke, Coke Zero. Sometimes as well.
Yeah. Like, it's a little like California Girls and Roar take a little less thinking, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sure.
And Teenage Dream is like a little bit more like evocative.
But they're very fun, those two records. Yeah. And Teenage Dream is just so it's timeless, and you can listen to it alone, and it's like an earphone record. You know?
It's got like a bittersweetness to it.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
You painted a picture with that.
I'm happy you said that, because that era is my number one for sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
So good.
Thank you.
Why are you the most proud of that one? Do you just feel like you had the most fun writing it, or
you know what? It was the most difficult to write.
Oh,
it was like really a lesson to me to like not give up. Mm. Like, we wrote like 5 different versions of
it. Really?
Yeah. Like, start to finish.
Jeez.
Like, you kept switching the melody too, or just the lyrics?
No, the melody was locked, because Max and everybody came up with this incredible melody, and like the track was great. Benny Blanco killed it on the track, and there was a magic to it. And we knew that there was something really special about it. But like, we wanted it to feel kind of nostalgic and young. And so it started out as like, "You make me feel like I'm born again, all brand new. Come on, Peter Pan."
No way.
And then it was like, this is too young.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it needs to be sexier.
Right.
And we were like, okay, let's get away from that. And then we did a version that was like, I think it was called Try Me On, where it was almost like, "Dress me up in your love," or "Wanna dress you up in my love," like that Madonna one, mm-hmm. or whatever. It was all like kind of fashion references, but it felt like a little, even though that's a really cute idea and like worth writing, it felt a little bit camp, and like the song was a little more earnest.
Sure.
And I mean, we wrote so many versions of that thing. I mean, I have like several notebooks of different versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was kind of my 8 Mile moment, because I was broke. I had, my cell phone got turned off. I had no hot water. I had no car. I was just like so lucky to be in that room.
Mm.
And I was like, I gotta really dig deep and find this thing.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, thinking back to when I was an adolescent and like, what was it like the first time you fall in love? And I was thinking about how I used to have slumber parties with my friends, and we would like watch Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio, Claire Danes, and like put on the little like 90s disco ball thing and like think about our first kiss and like, what would that be like? And then I was thinking about like Wet Dreams, you know, and like that was kind of where that came from.
Yeah.
But like there was something about the word teenager. And I was like, teenager says so much, but it was too many syllables. And so we changed it to teenage, and then it turned into Teenage Dream. And I was like, this feels right.
Wow.
And it's funny, like, how many people I've seen, other artists have referenced it, have used like the words Teenage Dream. I mean, I didn't invent Teenage Dream. Like, those are words that existed, you know what I mean? But it's really nice to see that resonated with people, you know? So I think that is why I'm so proud of that one, because it was like, it was the puzzle, just that, those lyrics especially, that I solved the puzzle.
That's crazy. And 5 rewrites. I don't know how you did it. It's so hard for me to rewrite stuff like that. Oh my God,
Katie and I were pulling our hair out. There was one point where we were like in the live room on the floor, like on beanbags or something, just like rolling around, like crying.
Oh my God.
Like, where do we go?
That's crazy. Where was this, at Conway?
It was we did all the other versions at Conway, which is my favorite studio in LA.
Yeah.
And then we went up to Santa Barbara. Katie's from Santa Barbara, and we recorded out there.
Really?
Got you.
Sometimes you need that Santa Barbara magic.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Did you crack the code?
On that one, yes. I mean, it was co-written, but the title was mine.
There you go. Listen, you better take that credit. We don't get a lot of credit as songwriters. Right? You better take that credit, Miss Girl.
Thank you.
Hey.
Oh my God. Hey. Thank you. That's right.
Crazy.
Wow. You know, a record that I'm really proud of you for too is, I didn't know until like way later, I guess when I entered like the songwriting zeitgeist, that you did Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah. And yeah. that record, I actually like, I feel like I'm so undereducated about how that came to be, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. And I'd love to hear your perspective. Cause for me, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Mm-hmm. And why is the song number one like that? Mm-hmm. And then not only that, it was massive.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you get into like the writing world, it's so incredibly impressive to me to break an artist mm-hmm. and have a huge record. But that was the first song, right?
He had a couple other hits. He was big in the UK. He's from the UK. He had, I'm pretty sure.
There was another one I remember.
Only gonna break your break, break
your heart. Yes, break your heart.
Oh.
That was also a huge, that was massive. Cruz. Yeah. And then I think there was another one that he had right before that too. But he was big in Europe, but he was just starting to cross over into America. And I think originally we had talked about, because we just had written the hook before Tyro came on it. Mm. And originally it was going to go to Flo Rida.
Oh,
and then
I could hear that actually.
And then someone was like, I don't know, this Tyo Cruz dude is like kind of killing it. So Tyo came in and wrote all the verses.
Mm. Oh.
And I remember being like, so I did not like it at first. Because like, well, I don't know if you've seen my TikToks about this or whatever, but Dynamite has like a secret deep meaning.
Uh-huh. Oh, actually, I haven't seen this. Tell me.
So at the time I was struggling to get sober.
Mm.
And so the song was really about like surrender.
Oh, wow.
Where it's like, everyone's like, why do you throw your hands up in the air only sometimes?
Mm.
And it's not like, oh, sometimes I party. It's like, sometimes you just throw your hands up in the air. Like, I got to throw my hands
Jesus
up in the air
the wheel.
A little right. bit. Yeah. yeah. And so there was like a lot of depth there for me. Right. And then like, and then Tyo came in and wrote these incredible verses that are like, you know, I'm wearing all my favorite brands. And I was like, oh my God. But you know what? It needed that. It needed that. And like, that was really what made it work.
No, that's great. Wait, okay. I have to know. So the last part of the chorus though, because you say, I throw my hands in the air sometimes, singing Ayo, gotta let go. Do you still do that? I'm going to celebrate and live my life. Was that also part of the original chorus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it was just a completely different meaning.
Yeah. It was just like, okay, I gotta let go and I need to just like enjoy the moment and let go of this old life that I was living.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's the thing. Like he said earlier, it's like the credit list is deep. And that is one that like also, yeah, was a huge, huge record. And I'm like, people don't guess, I think. And especially back then, I'm guessing people never really even question like who are the writers behind these songs. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
well, it's amazing. Funny because I remember the time that A&R told me that it was never going to get played on the radio.
Oh, wow.
Because he was like, Dynamite, no, it's like explosive. I was like, I don't know, like 9/11 was like,
oh,
that was like 10 years ago at that point. But I was like, oh, is that going to be a problem? And then turns out it wasn't.
I've been going through a lot of highs and lows lately.
Aw, sounds like you need a day one, honey.
The CBD-infused sparkling water?
Yes. What's great about CBD is it doesn't make you feel higher or lower. It balances the body and the mind.
Hmm. Sounds like a great way to cut out distractions. And isn't it zero calories?
Yes, Skinty Mini. I'm telling you, you need a day one. Luckily for you, I have one right here.
Ooh, let me try.
Drink up. Drink it day one.
Use code DADDYMOMMY for 25% off.
Period. Well, that's amazing. Okay, so now I'm going to say, let's like fast forward. Tell me about like what your overall experience has been like as like a songwriter in the industry and now coming into like getting back to your artist project. Like what sorts of things, like challenges have you faced? What sorts of things do you feel like you would give as advice? Like, I'm very curious.
Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't realize is that you don't get paid to be a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Most songwriters, but not all, will get publishing deals and you get an advance. You get a chunk of money and then you have to like live off of that until you hopefully get a hit, fingers crossed, which like most writers don't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, middle-class songwriters that just get like album cuts and whatever. And that used to be like a livable wage,
right,
you know?
Right.
But it really is like gambling.
Yeah.
Because you have no control. You can write the best song in the world, but you have no control over whether the stars are going to align and the label's going to promote it or that the artist is going to connect with the fans or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's really like a lot of work on spec. It's mm-hmm. all work on spec.
Mm. Yeah.
And, I know there's a lot of songwriters in the industry right now trying to change that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, and that's partly why I was like, what am I doing? This is the dumbest business model. Like, what other industry do you just work for free forever?
You, amen.
And then, like, maybe you'll win the lottery. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
No, what kind of delusional person do you have to be to sign up for that career?
That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy.
Well, we didn't start delusional. We started uneducated.
Yeah.
And you think you're going to be like the one.
Right.
And then you hit a point where you get a little jaded and you're like, wait a second.
Right.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. My advice would be like, if you want to be a songwriter, you better really love writing songs.
Yeah.
And it better just be what makes you happy day to day that you get to create. I mean, that's what they hold over our heads. That's like the carrot that they dangle is like, you're so lucky to make music for a living. And it's like, yeah, but if I'm not making a living,
right,
then I have a hobby. Right.
No, straight up. You know, it's a cute little hobby that doesn't pay.
Mm-hmm. No. And you know, what's also interesting too, is like when I started my career, I actually started working at a record label first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually crazy how uneducated everybody who works on the master side is about songwriting. They think that everybody's making money.
Oh, no,
they don't
no.
even know.
No idea.
Yeah. And then it's crazy to me too, like in light of recent events, I always wonder, I'm like, why isn't there a union for songwriters?
Well, that's what people have been talking about.
They're working on it.
There is some kind of a law that came into play like 100 years ago, literally. Because we are independent contractors. Mm-hmm. And so I guess if you're an independent contractor, then you can't unionize or something. I should know more about it, but anyway. But I think they're working on that. I think that honestly, the writer's strike in Hollywood and the actor's strike has been a big inspiration.
Yeah.
But I mean, and those are all people that actually get paid to show up at least.
Right.
Like we don't get paid to show up.
No, so real.
And like they say, you know, yes, you can have a writer's fee where it's like, okay, like look at my track record. Like it's going to cost you money if you want me to come in and have my time.
Right.
But it's like most people don't do that. And so they're going to be like, actually, I can get someone else to do this for free. So why would I do that?
Right.
No,
it's very taboo.
No, it is. Yeah.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
No, it's strange.
Yeah.
It's and not like, only literally there is no music industry without the songwriters.
No,
there's no songs. Like what? Y'all can listen to fucking Bach, bitch. Yeah. I mean, I like it, but like you can. Go ahead. If you don't need words.
If you don't need a top line.
Yeah.
No, for real. It's definitely, I think, really unfortunate that songwriters aren't taken better care of, especially considering what they provide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like half the time you're playing therapist, half the time you're showing up at somebody else's space, like even just the commuting alone that you're doing as a writer, going from session to session, studio to studio, it's like you're expending so much. And at the same time, it's not always guaranteed that it's going to come back to you.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time it's not.
Most of the time it's not.
I would say like 95% of the time.
No, for real.
The songs you write don't never see the light of day.
Yeah. No, for real. But like imagine too, like somebody said to me, I believe maybe it was one of my A&Rs who was like, If they were just to pay, like say labels agreed to pay like $100 day rate just to come.
Yeah.
Like most people I know are doing like a 4 to 5 sessions a week. You know what I mean? And at that point, like maybe you can afford to make your rent every month.
Absolutely.
But like,
and also, you know, there are people like Justin Tranter who has a label and a publishing company now. They are incredible.
Yes.
And they are giving their writers points on the masters.
Wow.
Which makes a huge difference.
It does.
And that's what I've been doing on my new stuff as well, is I'm giving points to all the writers.
Hell yes.
Nice. Because that's what I want.
Yeah.
And it's funny just like being on the other end of it, because I am technically my own label because I'm independent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. So it's giving up pieces of the pie, but I'm like, yeah, but that's like how it should be.
No.
Like someone came in and did work. They gave me their time. They gave me their intellectual property and I want to take care of them.
Right. No, for real. And I also think there's something to say about that of like, if you're not coming from a place of lack and you're not protective about one piece of the whole picture, I actually think you become a more abundant person in the long run anyways.
Absolutely.
'Cause it's the willingness to give and feed people who are working for you and working on your stuff, I think goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think it's fucked up that like the producer always gets paid.
Hello.
And also, it used to be that the producers were not getting publishing just because they put a beat together.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be back in the day, like, songwriters would write a song, and then a producer would be paid money to come in and produce it.
Right.
Or, like, you know, bring it to life. But now it's like, if somebody makes a beat, then they get half of the publishing.
Right. And so you're getting half the publishing plus a fee.
Plus a fee.
Yeah, writers, you know what else is crazy, too? A lot of producers actually get fees that are supposed to be also paid out to the songwriters, and then they just stay quiet.
Hello?
Pocket the whole damn thing.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot of them.
We do.
And I know you're listening. Hey, Fugly. Yeah.
No, it's true. And it's upsetting because, like, ultimately, like, I mean, I don't know. I just definitely think it's a collaborative effort. Yeah. And therefore, it feels as though all of the, you know, rewards, whatever, that are coming from that should be split. Amongst everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, producers often argue like, okay, but like I spent so many more hours producing this track. And yes, production is very time consuming. Whereas a songwriter would like come in just for a day. I am not one of those songwriters though. Like I rewrite, as you've heard, I will, you know, go through it with a fine tooth comb and like rewrite it a million times.
Right.
And I also contribute a lot to the production and the structure of the song and everything else. But like nobody's giving me production credits.
Right.
No, ma'am.
And like I've had to fight for that.
Right. I believe it.
And like everyone thinks I'm a pain in the ass. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like
you're like, I contributed.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. That's it. But meanwhile, if you tried to flip it and be like, you know, well, I really wrote the song. You didn't really write the song.
Yeah.
And
it's they'd be like fuck you.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No, it's tough. And actually, oh, you're reminding me. Actually, I remember I did listen to your And the Writer Is interview. And I remember, I think it was you, and correct me if I'm wrong, who said in the music business, it's not about not getting screwed over. It's about knowing how you're getting screwed over.
Uh-huh.
Which I was like, period. That's really what it is. Yeah. It's like, because everybody's getting screwed over in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not about avoiding it. It's like, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But like, if you know how, at least you can attempt to either correct the situation or like you said, do right by other people, you know, which I think is honestly probably the best thing to come out of all the shit that's kind of gone down in the last few years since streaming became so big is like people are trying to, you know, be better about sharing the pot and giving people equal credit. And I think that I've definitely noticed that as a trend amongst producers who I've worked with where they're either sharing part of their fee or they're giving points on the master if they're the artist, you know, like even Keon, shout out to you. I remember you were one of the first artists that I worked on your stuff who was like, yeah, you're going to get a couple points on the master, shorty.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Period.
It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
That's what I would want.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody gives it to me. So that's why I stopped showing up.
I mean, same.
There is that.
Listen, I dyed my hair blue and started a podcast. There's a reason.
Right? That's so real. So real.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, your story is amazing. And I definitely think that for all the girlies, especially who are in songwriting, it's like you're such a great figure of hope for them.
Yeah. Thank you.
And it's like you've done so much and I'm sure you've taken so much shit and put up with so many egos and so many crazy people. And it's like, I don't know, the longer I do this, the more that I feel like I've dealt with certain situations where I'm like, it takes a very strong woman, especially to continuously put up with all of that and still show up and deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So cheers to you, baby girl. Well,
thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yep. And all that and 5-inch heels.
Hello. Yeah, y'all didn't see it, but this bitch is like, I mean, let's talk about your feet.
Yeah, I do want to talk about your feet because I'm happy they're resting right now.
I mean,
now.
I do have 5 stars on WikiFeet. I'm just saying.
WikiFeet.
Wait a second. Wait. Where's my phone?
What?
I didn't even know that was a thing. And then somebody sent me a screenshot and I was like, oh.
Wait.
WikiFeet Keon.
That's the thing, yeah.
Wait. Do you get a little, do you get some cash off that?
No.
What?
It's it's just like a rating. It's just like people rate like celebrities' feet. I don't really consider myself a celebrity, but somehow I guess there's enough photographs of my feet on the internet for people to rate them.
Okay, but let's monetize that.
No, I mean, for wouldn't real. That be nice?
No, he's let's real those, big into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's get those toes on Cameo.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
No, literally, only feet. That's what we said.
Only feet.
Not only fans, but only feet.
Still OF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we got a lot to talk about. For real.
If you got a 5-star rating, I'm like, shoot.
No, I mean, they're not
you that could great. Be making some money.
If you got 5-star grippers, we got to do something with that.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
We really do. That's crazy.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
I mean, for real.
Hit him with a wow real quick.
I'm going to do a wow. Yeah. Whoa, my heart's fucking beating.
No, that's
I mean,
crazy.
The rest of your career is exciting, but this?
This has really got you worked up.
This is like, this is where you're really going to make your money, I feel like. This is like
this is
a
what
whole
you're
new
known for.
A business frontier. If we were Kris Jenner and you, we'd be like, let's start, you know.
Right.
I mean, I would love to do ASAP. A line of shoes or.
Okay, I actually do want to talk about the shoes, though. Because I was like, even me, like, there's not a lot of people who are wearing heels that walk in and I'm like, God damn. But you but you were like, you ever done ballet?
It's a serious, it's a serious heel for those who haven't seen the shoes. It's a serious heel.
Those are just like my everydays.
No, and I knew that.
They're like getting bossy of
like,
you.
I mean, look, I spend money on shoes. Like, I will wear everything else can be cheap that I wear, I don't care. But like, my shoes have to be nice.
Have to be nice.
I
love it.
And like, I wear the hell out of them. Like, I wear my Louboutins every day. You know what I mean?
No,
because it's like, if you're going to spend the money on the shoe, then wear the fucking shoe.
Right.
Like, so many girls are like, keep it in a, you know, in a gorgeous glass case. In their closet. And it's like, no, if I'm going to buy these shoes, I want to wear them.
Wear the shoe.
Yeah.
I love
that. That's fair. But also the fact that you said, these are my everydays. And it's like, a
I mean, they're beat up.
I knew it.
I wear the hell out of them.
Do you drive in them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With it on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
You're literally so impressive.
You're cleaning so hard.
I'm only 5 feet tall.
No way.
Yeah. So it's like almost like, I mean,
people probably don't even know.
It's like when I wear flats, it's almost like people don't see me. Like I get like stepped on.
You disappear.
I can't reach anything. It's like kind of a handicap. You know what I mean? Like I'm little.
She's small.
So you're walking around with a ladder.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Stilts.
That's it.
Yeah. But that's amazing. Wait. Like when I meet really tall people, I'm like, what is it like? Like that's a totally different experience.
It is a different experience.
To like see the world from up there.
No, I love it.
I just love that there's probably so many people who have no idea you're 5 foot, myself included. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My mom is like 4'10 or 4'11. It's
tiny really?
Little itty bitty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tiny people. She comes from tiny people.
Yeah.
Hobbits. Yes. Hobbits. Yes.
But wait, okay, wait. I really do feel like you should do a shoe line. I feel like you would kill it.
I mean, I would love to.
I feel like you could name each shoe after all your hits.
Yes.
Like how good.
I mean, you know what I really want to do?
The teenage dream shoe? Come on.
Well, I mean, like, that's not my hit.
Like, girl, it's your hit.
First of all, Katie has the shoe line. So if anyone's going to name a shoe, a teenage dream, is going to be Katie.
Okay, but if she didn't do it, it's her loss.
Well.
And you can do the shoe.
She did name a shoe the Bon Bon. And I was like,
Oh.
And it
So you can definitely name it. Yeah. I'm like, you are just as much a part of that as her.
At least you can call it tweenage slumber.
There you go.
There you go.
We got around it.
We're good.
You know what I really want to do is a line of furniture and like home goods.
Oh, wait, hold on real quick.
Like, I am all about this.
Are you an interior design girl?
I am big into that.
Let's talk about it.
All about it.
No, your design is like, it's so good. It's so good.
I'm just very much affected by my environment.
Yeah.
Color.
Yes.
It's very important.
Yes.
And I just feel sad. Like, I know that like, you know, everything modern these days is like gray and like cream, you know, neutrals.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, that's fine and it's calming. But like, if there's not like a drop of color,
right.
I'm like depressed.
Yeah.
Like my house is like rainbow bright.
Yes. No, it seriously is. Like Bonnie's house, for those who have not seen it, it's like a wonderland. It's so good. But like, it seems like you've really like curated like vintage pieces and really shopped find the right pieces
in
your house.
I love mid-century stuff.
Yeah.
And I love like a velvet couch. Like everything has to be velvet.
Sexy.
And I love the kind of like, clockwork orange looking mod stuff too.
Yeah.
I love bright colors. I don't know. I also kind of I did a TikTok that went viral and everyone was like, why does your house look like grandma's house? And I was like,
grandma's house?
It's called mid-century.
No, literally.
And I was like, yeah, if I see a quote unquote grandma couch, which would be like, you know, maybe like a floral, like 70s couch.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is sick.
That's
like, who doesn't love that?
Right.
You know? It's like an instant vibe.
Yeah.
No,
and like,
good.
You know, I do a lot of music video shoots. And so I go on like Pure Space or whatever and like look at all these different sets. And I'm just like, it's just a fucking grandma couch and a wall that's painted yellow. And everyone's like, you know, $400 an hour. It's like,
right.
It's amazing what, you know, a splash of paint can do.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Truly.
Right.
It's like, is everyone so impressed with stuff and I'm like, it's just color.
Well, you're also like a DIY queen.
I am.
Yes.
Not everybody has that skill.
Yeah.
But also it's like, I think you could do, oh my God, you should do a series.
A series?
You should do a series. You should do a design series.
I mean, I would love to.
And like, that could be her snap.
Ooh.
Ooh. A Let's talk about that.
Later.
Okay, a little design series. Mm-hmm. We go through all your pieces. Mm. And then we need a source shit.
Yeah.
And then we're in the quest. Yeah. For it. Next thing you know, it's like Rachel Ray in Italy.
Yes, we just watched that.
Yes. We can definitely beat those ratings. No offense to her.
Oh my God.
No offense to her. But we can. And we find stuff.
So good.
And we talk shit along the way.
I love it. Yeah. Love it. I'm here
you
for it.
You would kill it. That's I love crazy. That. Just because you have such an aesthetic. That's what's like so
no, you
great.
Do. You do. You're like a branded person. And I Thank love you. That. No, yes. You know, I briefly met you a couple years ago because of her. Mm-hmm. But I went to one of your iconic Halloween parties. Uh-huh. And I believe the first time I met you, which was 1 second long, you were dressed as a comet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had an apocalyptic party. Mm-hmm. It was a Halloween. It was Apocalypse Wow was the theme.
Oh, yeah.
No one told me.
So it was like an end of the world party, right? And so I was the comet that ended it all.
Right.
Yes. No, but you DIYed the shit out of that costume.
Sure did. No, shit was serious.
Yeah, I went kind of manic on that one. Yeah. I went a little nuts.
Yeah, like we probably should have entered you in a pageant. Yeah. To be honest.
Yes. But no, but that's just like who you are. That's what's impressive.
I mean, I love it. And it's a nice little kind of brain break for me. Like, it's still like a fun puzzle to figure it out.
Right.
But like, there's something really cathartic about just like working with my hands. Like, I made a pleating board. Right. And I pleated shit and made like a whole fan for my comet outfit, whatever.
Yeah.
I love working with my hands. It's like meditative.
So good. Mm-hmm. Well, all the more reason we need to just film it.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
It would be so good. Watching you DIY stuff and then like shop for furniture, like I would so tune in.
No, for real.
We're such HGTV.
I know. I was going to say, do we know anybody at HGTV?
I don't, but like we'll find someone.
Mauricio. Oh, no, he's not there.
I was going to say, I'm like, hold on.
I was like, nah, he just sells houses.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Close enough. Real estate. Yes.
Are you into real estate?
I mean, I'm into architecture and houses. And actually, I watched something. It was like a half hour YouTube because I just watch YouTube shit before I go to bed.
Right.
Mm. And it was like a guy that tours like abandoned old places. Mm. And there was this crazy 80s mansion that was like insane.
Sick.
And I just watched him like go through detail by detail for like half an hour. I just watched this guy walk through an abandoned mansion and was like, I love this. And like, if I didn't have the job I have, I would just go explore abandoned mansions.
Yeah.
No, I could see that. I'm like sensing like that.
I love going to an open house.
Yeah.
You know? Or just like, I just have like Pinterest boards that are just full of like dream house shit. Well, all I want in life is a conversation pit.
Ooh.
I am obsessed with conversation pits. Ugh. And like, I think I'm about to do a little bit of renovation on my house. It's like, it's so expensive. And it's such a domino effect too. Yeah. It's like you do one thing and that affects the next thing. And then it's like, okay, well, I need like $1 million to do that.
Yeah.
But I want to do like little bits at a time. Like I'm about to convert my garage and I want to make my garage into like a studio. Like I want to have like, I want to have like a psych wall so I can shoot there. Yeah. I already have dance mirrors so I can dance.
Sick.
I want to have a recording studio in there.
Sick.
And so I'm like, but then that affects everything. And I'm like,
I see.
But I love it. I just fantasize about it.
No.
I love it. I wish that I would love to study architecture, honestly. I just love it so much.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm just bad at math, so.
Oh, wow.
No, we're not there for math.
No.
We're there for pretty, not pretty. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's
what we do.
Yes.
You know, Rachel and I get freaky and we go to open houses for fun.
Oh, I love it. Will you let me know so next time? Good. I love
oh,
it.
Oh, my God.
Or I love an estate sale.
Ooh.
Yeah, listen, I got some flyers. I'm not even kidding you. I got some flyers in my car. I'll show you later.
Oh,
of the
my
house
gosh.
That we just
There's
saw.
One house, Bonnie. Like,
yeah.
It was.
Don't like, say the location.
I won't.
I don't want bitches to know about
no,
it.
Yeah. It was just like so magical and
what era
peaceful
was it?
And beautiful. What era? I mean, it was very modern. It was very modern.
It wasn't necessarily, I think, your type. Mm-hmm. However, the location we didn't know existed.
No.
Around LA.
Yeah.
Let's just say, well, you would know about this, but not.
We'll tell you after.
Yeah, we'll tell you after.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because like
is it
it's about to be our
body
little,
of water.
There's a body of water
uh-huh.
involved.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Nice. And it's gorgeous.
So nice. Gorgeous. But no, house hunting is so nice.
Mm-hmm. I love and that you picked like, up on that.
Yeah. That's good. But like, I feel like you can really picture yourself in these homes. Mm-hmm. And it's just so nice to be like, oh my God, yeah, like I could live here.
Yeah.
You know, I have like architecture and like design dreams where I'll be like in my house and then I'm like, what's this door? And I open it, it's a whole other wing. And I'm like, Oh,
yeah. So good.
And it's like all, it's like floor to ceiling, like curtains and like, you know, big glass walls in my conversation pit or like a spiral staircase. I'm just like, I love it. Like my brain is just like building things.
Right.
Yeah. We got to work on your show. I'm really excited.
I know. I am too.
I'm over here like brainstorming already. I'm like, yeah, we should do this episode, that episode.
Yeah, right. Me and Rachel are just like watching the taping. We're like,
no, literally. We're like, pick that one up, pick it up, pick it up.
Right.
So good. Well, I'm like, in your home, you love to host.
I do.
I mean, that's
really awesome. I feel like I would like, I'd be throwing parties, but like more like dinner parties, probably.
I love a dinner
party. I'm more of a dinner party girl.
I do love a dinner party.
Yeah, because Bonnie's a popular girl.
She is a pop. Although, I have a bone to pick with some of your friends.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. And I said this to you last time I saw.
What the f is going on?
What? I have a bone to pick with some of your friends because, and I said this to you last time I saw you, but I just want it to be known for anybody who was at Bonnie's 4th of July party a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You know who you are.
What?
There was a moment that happened at this party that I thought was so huge and so major that no one else was participating in. And it like really irritated me.
What?
Because we're at this party. We're at Bonnie's house. 4th of July. Woo! Party, party. Drink, drink. Yay. Then the DJ puts on American Girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, they're playing her song. We're at her house. It's 4th of July. It's America's Day. We're listening to American Girl. I like instantly start losing my shit. I'm so excited. I'm like, this is incredible. This moment, everything. I look around. Everyone is just like hosted up.
You know what's funny? A lot of people have told me after the fact, they're like, I just couldn't believe when American Girl was playing and then I was at your party and it was 4th of July. And like, I think everybody's like, doesn't want to like, they think I'm going to be weirded out.
Mm. I guess.
And I'm like, no.
But like,
it's the same thing. Like if some, like I just posted a TikTok where we like went into Target and was like being an idiot. And a bunch of people were like, oh my God, I saw you. And like, say hi.
No, literally.
Right. Like, please.
Don't be weird. Don't be weird and don't be too cool for school. Like I couldn't
stand.
I'm
just as insecure as everybody else. Like, I need a little pat on the back sometimes.
Right. Like, I feel like that's like such an LA issue.
It definitely is.
Because anywhere else, I feel like it would have been like, oh my God, this is unreal. But in LA, everybody's like not trying to show their colors and they want to just sit there and like, oh yeah, like that's cool. Good for her. It's her song. But like, also, it would have been different if your body language was exuding awkward.
Right.
Then it would have been like, oh, okay, like, let's not make a big deal out of this. But the DJ puts it on. You come waddling out in your cute-ass outfit. And, like, DJ is like, yeah, hyping you up. You're, like, dancing. And I'm like, I remember I was just so shocked that, like, no one else was hyping you. And I busted out my camera. I remember I was filming. I think I still have this video.
Oh, my God.
I start filming you. I'm like, yes, singing all the words. Because, of course, I know all the words. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I hate that about LA, honestly. Mm. And I also feel like, no offense to the homies in this particular area, but I also feel like that might be kind of an area thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the crowd that area attracts, I'm not going to say where you live, is probably a cooler, more low-key crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be like, oh my God, yes, bitch. Like, it's not that. But like, had we been in, let's say, West Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
perhaps there would have been more shorties, like, stoked for you.
Twerking on
but I felt like I had to represent. Because I was like, what's going on? I was like, people don't realize that this is happening in front of their eyes right now. Like, this is amazing.
You know what? It's also like, my parties get so insane. And there's a lot of people that just like, don't even know who I am. They're just like out of range.
Interesting. That's fair.
And
that's
I'm like, and also like, I don't put it on for everyone to be like, yay, Bonnie. I mean, first of all, I didn't put it on. The DJ puts it on. Yeah. And it's just like a tradition where it's like, okay, this is an American song.
Right.
And so we play it on 4th of July. And I don't think a lot of people even know that that's my song.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being, that's just wild. That's wild to me. Wild. But it's such, I mean, listen, to me, you should just know that moment to me was everything.
Thank you.
Because I was like, this is, again, I told you my story. I remember watching this video, sitting there eating cereal, and now here I am, sitting here with this queen. She's dancing in front of my eyes to her song on America's Day, listening to American Girl, and I was like, this is the biggest deal ever.
Thank you.
No, I love that for you.
That.
No,
Thank
and you. Do it every year, and make sure anybody that's watching this show, make sure you support her.
Thank you.
That drives, like, I can't with that attitude.
Thank you.
But that is
much.
An LA thing in general.
It definitely is.
Everybody's like not trying to show that they're like super fans or whatever.
It's, but it's also like even just people that you know, like you see someone at the grocery store that you've known or like worked with many times, and you'll just ignore each other.
Yes.
Whereas like in New York, like I was just at Fashion Week and I would like meet someone at a party that I'd never met. And then like 3 days later, I'd see that person again and be like, oh, hey, like, what's up? We just met, remember? And it's like, yeah. Yes, like we acknowledge that we just saw each other days
right.
ago.
Right,
right.
Or like even like the same person that you saw like on the elevator at the hotel. Like yes. in New York, people acknowledge each other. I think because people are more on top of each other.
Yeah.
Just like physically.
Right.
But in LA, everyone's really kind of isolated in their car, in their little pod. Everyone's all spread out. And so it's like people just don't want to be bothered. And like the idea of catching up with someone,
right.
if yeah. you're just like caught off guard, it's kind of like neither of us have the energy for this. So we're just going to pretend like we don't know who each other are.
Mm. No, there's that. There's that for sure. And I do think like another part of the issue for me, though, is like giving people their flowers. Mm-hmm. Like I've tried to make it a point, I would say in the last couple of years, to really acknowledge when I feel like people deserve acknowledgement. Like
totally. And, you know, I comment on everybody's shit where I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am genuinely happy for people.
No,
it is so hard. I know how hard it is to succeed in this town.
Exactly.
Or even just to be brave enough to put something out.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I like everything. I comment on everything. I'm just like, fuck yeah, keep going.
Yes, right. Exactly.
So many people will also view something and just not like it.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, would that just take too much energy for you to like double tap on this thing?
No, it's stupid.
Like you saw it. I know you like you all see you in person. I know you liked it.
Right.
But you didn't push the button.
No,
and it's like, and it makes such a huge difference for people, right. you know what I mean?
A 1,000%.
Like, I mean, like, I don't get too caught up with, like, how many likes I get or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but, like, it's a roller coaster. It can be a roller coaster, right. like we were talking about, with TikTok views and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just not that hard to just, like, wait
show
a couple
a
extra
love.
Seconds and watch the whole thing.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Or show, or just show
literally
a little
seconds.
Love.
No.
Like you said, you can double tap. That's enough love.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that's I just it. Need, like, 100,000 likes and just, like, 20,000 comments every time. Just to feel
that's
good.
It. Just to feel damn. Good.
Yeah, just like make somebody yes. feel good every
that
once in a while.
Oh my gosh, yes. But we just get like flooded with so much content too that like I totally agree. It's like when I see like a friend or somebody that's like done something great right. or post about an accomplishment, I'm like, I try my best to at least comment and be like, even if it's just clapping emojis, like I like to put the hands where I'm like, yes, I see you. I see that you're doing that. Good for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think people need that.
That's really sweet of you.
Yeah, I try. Yeah. I definitely try. Actually, the other day, it was really sweet. So a good friend of mine, she's recently been really active on TikTok and has like grown decently quickly because of that. And she is somebody who I know has gotten a lot of like shade in her personal life from like her partner and other people being like, why are you posting those TikTok videos? Blah, blah, blah. I already know you know who I'm talking about.
I genuinely don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Nonetheless, I'm super proud of her because she stayed consistent and it's definitely like been to her benefit. Now she's like going on tour. Like, it's like she's developed a whole audience
it
for her music.
Work.
And nonetheless, I like saw that she posted this video with this other artist who she's touring with. And like, it was just so cute and it brought me so much joy. And I was so excited for her. I sent her the video and I was like, I literally love watching you shine. Like, I am just so thrilled that this is happening for you.
Right.
And, like, congratulations. And, like, she texted me back, like, immediately, like, thank you so much. But then the next morning was, like, I just can't tell you how much that meant to me. Like, I just really appreciate that. And I'm, like, we don't freaking support each other like that. Like, it's sad.
Yeah.
Because I do think a lot of people work so hard and it's, like, you don't get a lot of credit, I think, especially in music. And
well, also, I think that people, and like, honestly, I was this way in the beginning too. Like, when TikTok first happened and everyone was like, you should get on TikTok. I was like, nah, like, I'm too old for that. I don't want to dance around in my living room. Like, I just like didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And then I was like, in the pandemic, I was like, fuck it. What else have I got to do?
Right.
Yeah.
And I started doing it and I was like, oh, this is like such a great community.
Yeah.
And like, people really care and are invested.
Yeah.
And like, it's, I really feel like I connect with people there. And also, it's a lot of work. And like when I would see, because when I just started out, I was like, oh, like, how do you do this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would see these other videos that like kids make. And I'm like, whoa, that was like, this is a piece of art.
Yes.
That was a lot of work to do that. That took so long to do.
Yes.
And so I think that people like really are just kind of like, oh, TikTokers, whatever. Oh, influencer. And it's like, yeah, like these people are working their ass
off. It's a job.
Right.
It's a job.
It's really hard.
For real.
And like, why don't you try making something that's even just a fucking basic edit and let's see how easy and like frivolous that is or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like.
He's ready to say something.
Bitch. Go ahead.
No, it's so true. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, for the people who are actually like putting things together and not just like, oh, let me just like film a quick story. Like, I don't think people realize.
It's really interesting that like really anybody with a personality can like have a career in that, or like have a follower or find a community.
Yeah.
Like I follow so many just like, you know, middle-aged men and women in the middle of nowhere that I'm like, I like your stories. I don't know. I like your voice. I like you. You're funny. Like it's like making friends.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
Like you don't have to be an expert at anything necessarily. Yeah. No. I can just like your stories. I don't know.
Yes.
No, it's true.
So good. Wait, I asked our last guest this. What's on your FYP? What kind of videos do you like to watch?
Let me think. Let's see.
Oh.
Period.
Don't say wood chopping.
She said middle-aged people who are funny.
How? How did you know about the wood chopper?
You said middle-aged men and women, and I was like, oh, she's watching wood chopping.
Let's see here.
Pull it up.
I'm dead.
Pull it up.
Okay.
Was that anatomy?
I think it was an ad.
Oh.
Yeah. But I do look at a lot of science stuff. Okay, Bronze Avery, shout out. Love Bronze Avery. Okay, so I've got a lot of artists. Hula hooping. I don't know who this is.
What is on here?
I don't know.
Is that a chef?
Oh, Tessa Violet. Oh, love Tessa. Love Tessa Violet. I've done a bunch of stuff with her. I just went to her wedding. Oh, hey.
Oh my God, not yourself. Wait, on your FYP.
This is a good sign.
This is them trying to tell me that I gotta pay. Or they're like, oh, do you want more views? Pay us.
No way. Yes, I have never seen that.
Suggested promotion.
No, what? That's
ratchet. Because it's already doing well. And so you wanna make money off of it.
That's crazy.
That's making me sick.
More Tessa, artists. I don't know.
This is great.
Funny. What was that?
I don't know. I get a lot of random stuff.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I was speaking of like liking people's stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like it'll show me someone that like isn't a creator usually.
Right.
And they'll have like 10 likes.
Right.
And I'll like it. And I'll
that's nice of you.
I'll be like, you know what? Like I'll listen for a second and be like, I don't really need to.
You know, I get that.
Whatever. I'm like, why not? Like, the fact that this was shown, I'm like, sure. Yeah.
No, that's so sweet in your circumstance. In mine, I get so much freaky stuff. And, like, I'll get somebody with, like, 2 likes. And I'm like, ethically, I can't like this. You can't do it. It's too weird. And Rachel knows. I send her a bunch of weird shit all day. Yeah.
No, Keon's FYP is special.
My FYP is not ethically sourced.
No, it is special. Mm. It is a crazy assortment of videos.
But, yeah. But that's really sweet. I wish people were doing that with me. So that's nice that you do that. Yeah.
I just like when it's a random person in the middle of nowhere that has like 4 views, I'm just like, I'm gonna go ahead and like that for you. Because I know it's gonna make you feel good.
No, for sure. And I think it's really nice, and commenting might even be better.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a lot of hard work.
So I do comment sometimes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, where I'm just like, huh. I'm like,
I love
you know
that.
What? Good for you.
You know like, what I love too? I mean, this is like a little bit more contrived, but I love it when I find somebody who's got like 6,000 followers and I'm like, this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I love following them super early. Because it's just like, I don't know, it's just like a little support. Like I have one of my favorite creators right now. I always send you her stuff.
Yes.
That girl, Ari. Mm-hmm. Her name is Ari D. But she keeps switching her handle, so I don't know what it is. But she just goes, like, she's so shamelessly funny. Like,
it's amazing.
She's got a great voice. She's like a kind of, well, no, she's not kind of, she's a singer for sure.
Yeah, she's a good
like,
singer.
I know she's going to drop a fire song at some point.
Yeah.
She just needs to get out of Michigan.
Yeah.
But
so
she
funny.
Just walks around, like right now, she's just caroling with people, but she like sings aww. To the melody. No, it's not cute. She sings to the melodies of like people's songs and then switches the lyrics to like
that's
the most ratchet
when I was a little
shit
kid.
Ever.
Wow, amazing.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah. Like she,
I was going to say, if we can sing it to you after so we don't get banned.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. She'll just say smelly coochies are involved. She's that.
Amazing.
But she's just so shameless that I can't help it. But I followed her. I think I actually followed her at like 2,000 followers. And I checked today, she's at 80K in a month.
Yeah, she's grown a lot.
But it's
I noticed
just
that.
Because she's not afraid. And that's kind of honestly the principle of marketing in general.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's interested in getting in the space of being perceived.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like controversy works.
Right.
And it's not like she's doing anything to harm anybody. It's just that ridiculous that it's entertaining.
Yes.
And at the same time, I'm betting that she's going to actually sell records.
Yeah, I mean, her voice is good.
No, her voice is good.
Her
and
voice
I know,
is good and the songs are crazy, like intentionally
if she
crazy.
She got the right pocket. I could see her going a little like 070 shake shit.
Ooh.
But a little bit nasty. And it
wait, what's
work.
Her name?
Ari D.
You're about to get a follow, Miss Girl.
Wait, Where? Here, put it in.
Find it.
Let me see. I might have to check.
No, but it's
is
so
good. Is it R-A-D-1? Yes. Okay. I'm dead. Ari, I'm going to post this. I'm going to post this on TikTok for you because people need to know about this. But this is the caroling. Just watch this.
Okay.
You can put it out loud. She won't care.
I don't think I'm on the internet. Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah. No, but she's crazy. But this caroling video, she's actually collecting donations for charity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, well, shameless.
R&D Music One. I'm following you now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Boom.
For bringing me joy.
Yeah.
So good. So R&D good. R&D One.
You just got followed by the legendary Bonnie McKee.
Congratulations, girl.
Period. And that's on posting good content. Listen, if we're fans, we'll shout you out.
We're
not ashamed. And if we hate you, you know, we struggle to keep quiet as well.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're on the same page.
Period.
We're going to do our favorite little segment.
Okay, yes. Great.
Ready?
Get ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hansel Meet Combo is a silly little term that describes the healthy debate of a mildly or extremely controversial subject wherein daddy and mommy participate in the beloved practice of rock, paper, scissors to select sides and then proceed to argue in favor of their assigned position regardless of their personal beliefs. Disclaimer, neither daddy nor mommy are legally permitted to be canceled from these conversations.
Today's topic, is it a bigger deal to have a kid or to get married?
I mean, I think having a kid is...
Careful.
Don't start. You gotta rock, paper, scissors.
You're gonna get a side.
Oh, I forgot. I wasn't saying.
Yep, you're gonna get a side.
You're like, I just...
She said, let's debate.
She said, we're going in with the passion.
Okay, so wait, what do we do now?
So now you're gonna rock, paper, scissors. I think Keon...
Oh, I'm doing it?
I can do it.
It's fine.
I was gonna say, up to you.
Yeah.
And then whoever wins goes first.
So let's say whoever wins is gonna argue that it's a bigger deal to have a kid.
Yeah.
If you lose, it's a bigger deal to get married. You just have to go hard for your side.
Okay, got it.
Ready? Okay, and we'll go on shoot.
Are you rock, paper, scissors, shoot, or just rock, paper, scissors?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay,
period.
No, shoot. Period. Okay.
I love that.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Boom. So Bonnie won.
I win.
So you're saying it's a bigger deal to have a kid.
I think it's a much bigger deal to have a kid.
Okay, great. Here we go.
I mean, you're raising a human. You are then, you know, connected to this other person that you are having the baby with forever. You are in charge of forming someone's whole personality and not traumatizing them and keeping them alive. Whereas being married, you can just always get divorced.
That may be true in typical American standards, but I just feel like committing to somebody not by force is kind of like the ultimate commitment and is the biggest deal because realistically...
Not by force?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, are we talking about arranged marriages? Like, what?
No, I'm not talking about brute force of birthing a child.
Oh.
Okay. Pretty much. Right. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying it's a big deal. If you're going to be committed in a real marriage, having a kid is, you can do it out of wedlock and you don't really need to have all that kind of commitment because it's just so like 18, you know? But if you have a marriage partner, somebody you're in love with, you have to just like grow unconditionally and people change. They'll cross you. You got to learn to love them. They might cheat on you. They might literally hook up with your... We're going to scratch that from the record.
Oh, wow. Is there something there?
Yeah. We're going to scratch that from the record. We're going to scratch that from the record. That got too real.
Whoa.
Dodge, can you put that little bleep button in there? Anyways, now getting married is serious. Having a kid is child's play, literally.
Wow. I just couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's just basic fucking facts.
Yeah.
That everybody knows you can get divorced. It's like, there just really is no argument there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You know I'm right, so.
No, I think that you know that you think you might be right. And I'm going to respect that for you. Okay. But for me, just committing to another human that I'm not related to really is something.
I mean, yeah, that is something. That is something that you can get rid of and like opt out of.
You can get rid of a kid.
Yeah. But it's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon getting divorced.
Not really.
That's so true.
Not really.
Not really.
Around here. Listen, I really want to fight you on this, like, so hard. However, I really fucked up in the middle there. And for those of you guys listening, I'm going to leave this part in. But there was something in the argument that was brought up that cannot be disclosed on live television.
I'm so happy that spilled out.
And I got thrown off. But, you know, you did a good job. And you are right. Having a kid's bigger commitment.
Girl, you just won by freaking.
Yeah, you won by a landslide.
Like, really easy, though.
Yeah, no.
Is there another one?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do this one with you.
Okay, good.
Let's do baths versus showers. Okay, ready?
Rock, paper, scissors.
A little more debatable.
Okay. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Period. I didn't decide who won, so what? Would you just give us a side?
Baths.
Okay.
You get showers.
I have showers, you have baths.
That's great because I'm passionate about baths.
Oh, wonderful. Would you like to go first or would you like me to?
You go ahead.
Okay. Baths are actually nasty. If you think about it, you're just sitting in your own filth and you're soaking in whatever dirt is coming off of your body, dead skin cells, any, you know, leftover residue from your lotions, shampoos, etc. Your coochie dribble. All of that's going into the bath. You're just sitting there soaking in it. And as much as it can be a relaxing experience, I find it creates a little bit of anxiety because you're really just getting more dirty. If the point is to get clean, why are we sitting in the water? Why not get in a shower, perhaps a more reasonable form of cleaning and of, you know, hygiene that will rinse away and wash away all of your sins as well as all of the nastiness that you've been carrying around throughout the day. I think if you're going to take a bath, that's cute, but like also gross. I think you have to be in a shower to get properly clean.
Okay. But you can't soak your muscles. You can't really, I mean, like if I want to relax, which I do, by the way, I don't want to stand up. Who's like, I'm going to go anywhere you go. I'm going to go relax outside and then just stand. Like, no, you want to relax your muscles and completely just like give into it. And you can make it smell good. You can put like, you know, lavender or like bath salts, which bath salts are really good for your muscles. And for, and you absorb magnesium and stuff best through your skin, actually, because the skin is the largest organ on your body, by the way. And you can think, you can listen to music, you can listen to a podcast, you can read a book. You can't do any of that shit when you're in the shower, no.
Why not? If you have the speaker in there, you can definitely listen whilst showering, no?
Yeah, but you can't, like, listen. If, like, I've tried to listen to podcasts or whatever in the shower. I can't hear it.
It's
like,
too
I can't
odd.
Wear my headphones in the shower, no, but I can wear those in the bathtub if I want to.
There's a simple solution. It's called turning up your volume. If you turn up the volume, it's going to make it a lot easier to hear.
I'm not trying to, yeah, but it's echoey, like, no. It's loud. Okay. Also, like if I want to get clean, but I don't want to wash my hair, if I get in the shower, my hair is inevitably going to get frizzy. It's going to get a little bit wet. Right. But I can just like toss it up in a thing when I'm in the bathtub. It's not going to touch me. I can even like keep my makeup on. I could have a full face of makeup and be like, you know what? I just want to wash my body right now.
Okay. Simple solution. It's called a shower cap. You put on a shower cap and your hair won't get wet in the shower. Okay, it'll protect you.
Yes, my hair.
And your hair.
But my makeup is going to get all sweaty and weird and do it. Like, I can't have that. Like, it's going to steam my eyelashes off. I can't have that.
I mean, but you wouldn't want to wear makeup in a bath or a shower, technically, right? Because, like, why
well, I mean, if
that?
I'm just, like, trying to, you know, get my body clean before I go out the door, but I already have my makeup on and I don't feel like redoing it, whatever.
Simple solution. It's called a removable shower head. I happen to have one. You can hit just the spots that you need to hit. Without hitting your face.
Oh, like a horse bath. I'm sorry.
It's called a horse shower, actually. It's a horse shower.
That was so poignant and accurate. Of course you got one of those. Nasty ass.
Wow, you know? And, you know.
You know, you did a good job and she ate you up
at the end.
No,
you know what? That was a great close,
you
girl.
Know what, though? You're right. Because, like, yeah, if I go out, say I'm at Coachella, whatever, I'm covered in dust. Like, getting in a bathtub I'm going to be in, like,
that's gross.
Grime soup.
Yeah. And I actually.
But I do prefer a bath.
I think baths are actually lovely in real life. I don't take them very often, but. when I do, it is a lovely experience.
Yeah. I can light a candle.
It is more relaxing.
Yeah, it's more of an experience.
Because I do think that, like you said, it's like you're horizontal. Yeah. You get to lay down and relax. Yeah, but
you guys, you can lay in the shower. Just yeah, but putting like, it out there.
Like, only psychopaths lay down in the shower. Saying, yeah,
what? It is an option. It's weird, but you can do it.
I've never laid
you
down.
You never
in
fucking
a
sat in fetal position and cried in the shower.
You said laid down. You said laid down.
You can lay. You can fetal position. There's so many options.
Yeah, but most showers are not long enough for someone to lay.
That's true. Actually.
I wouldn't have that.
Although
experience.
That does sound kind of nice.
Yeah.
To lay in a shower.
Yeah. No, it doesn't it's like it's gonna feel like you're laying down on the street while it's raining. No, it's just gonna sprinkle
great.
On you.
That's some Hillary.
You guys
shit.
Both liked it.
Yeah. No. There's no something about way. Seeing your belly button fill up with water. It's just so relaxing.
That's a really niche pleasure.
This is so random and completely unrelated, but one of my favorite birthdays I ever had, I was alone and it was a full blood moon. And it was freezing. My birthday's in January. And I took a hot bath and then I went outside and I did a witchy ceremony and I laid naked in the moonlight. Oh my and it gosh. Was so beautiful.
Wow.
I was thinking about laying
well,
down
that's
outside.
Special. That's real
gorgeous.
Special.
Did you do
I
that?
I love that for you.
Was that like in public or did you like drive?
I did it in my
somewhere?
Backyard. My backyard.
So semi public.
Semi, yeah.
Oh. Did you
I'm naked in my backyard all the time.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't have any neighbors in the back.
Mm.
And so I just get in the hot tub naked.
It's like the feeling of,
yeah, I like to be free in the free. Night. Yeah,
I get
and
it.
I'm sure that my neighbors can see me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
she said, free the nip, free the ass.
That's
free
right.
Everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Free it all.
Free it all.
I love that for you, girl.
Thank you.
Well, yeah.
And your neighbors love it too.
I often wonder. I just don't. You know, I don't care at all.
All that matters is that you have a 5-star rating on WikiFeed.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
right. Oh
and
shit.
That's you know if they get
funny.
The if they get the rest to, of the no, body, that's a bonus.
No, I go to the hot tub naked, but just with socks on.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not gonna fucking give that commodity
oh my
at all.
God, that sounds so terrible.
Like that's a thought I never
wait,
had.
Wait, can you low-key try that? Like stop. I just want to know. Like I'm curious.
You want me to go in my hot tub with socks on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She said, okay,
report
challenge.
Back. Report
she said,
back.
Challenge accepted.
You know what? I'll do that tonight.
No, that shit's crazy.
Put
but
it on
it.
Your snap. Yeah. Put it on your
wait,
snap.
Is that something you regularly do? Like, is this a thing? That
no,
you
no. I just thought about it and I thought it'd be wonderful.
Wait, why do I have to do it? Why can't you do it?
Because I'm busy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I can't do that tonight.
I thought you were like recommending it. Like, oh my God, you've got to try getting in the hot tub with socks
no, but
on.
Like, but the thing is, if you do it, maybe you can recommend it.
I get to be the guinea pig.
You're yeah. the guinea pig.
I mean, my yeah. first instinct was like, yuck. But okay,
listen.
Okay.
Listen.
For you.
She said
for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure you film it. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
For your account.
That's right.
That we will be running.
That we will be running very soon.
Excellent.
So good. Well, wow. Bonnie, today has been so much fun. Thank you so much. And I'll consider taking a bath tonight because of you.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
A whore bath.
Yes.
Yep. But before we let you go, is there anything currently on the docket that's set to release or coming out soon that you would like to share with the children?
Well, I just put out Don't Get Mad, Get Famous, and the music video is coming out next week.
Hell yes.
Here yeah. Y'all go watch. And again, comment. Be nice. Comment. Show love. Double tap.
Yes. Post on your story.
Post on your story.
Repost it on TikTok.
That's right. Yes.
With a caption.
Can I just say, everybody's mad at me because it's so short.
Oh, the song is short?
The song is really short. It's a micro bop.
First
of all,
bop.
Everyone's mad. It was originally supposed to be just an interlude for the album.
Oh.
And then I signed a distribution deal and they were like, this song is fucking awesome. Like, this should be a single. And I was like, I mean, sure, why not? Like, I keep hearing, oh, everyone loves short songs. And I was like, which I don't like, but I was like, okay, sure, why not?
Right.
How short is short?
80 seconds. A minute and 20 seconds.
120.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's
short.
Mm-hmm. She's short.
That is short.
And I was like, whatever. But here's the thing. It's kind of like a novelty, like, camp song with a punchline. And I felt like when I wrote a second verse, the punchline didn't land. And so I was like, you know what? This is just for fun. This is not. I'm not taking this seriously.
Right.
Everyone is livid. The fans are going the fuck off.
Really?
On me.
You know what?
Well, in that case, do a little freaking duet video challenge, right? The second verse.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Oh,
that's. I just made the track, actually. Yeah. I'm going
to
do that.
I have a recommendation to the fans.
Okay.
Play it twice.
That's what I'm saying.
Hello.
Hello.
What a great
you
recommendation.
You go on Spotify, there's a little button on the, it's a little circle. Mm-hmm. Looks like a track. Click it twice. And that'll get it.
That's right.
And
that's
that'll right. do it.
Yep.
So play it twice.
Invest in the microbop.
Yep.
Listen,
y'all invested
from the pop queen herself. A microbop is on the way.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll definitely be listening and tuning in and playing it twice.
And playing it twice.
And playing it twice.
That's right.
All right. Bonnie McKee, everyone.
Bonnie McKee.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.